dynamite all year long. From Jamaica, Cape Island in the sun. When it's time to leave, it's Jamaica farewell. From a wide and waiting song, and where we coming from, but in Key West, good fishing all year long. So tell me now, where you gonna go next year? Who you gonna visit? What you gonna do next year? Where you gonna go? From Jamaica, Cape Island in the sun. The minutes down the lead in Jamaica, farewell. From a wide waiting song, that's where we're coming from, but in Key West, good fishing all year long. So tell me now, where you gonna go next year? Who you gonna visit? What you gonna do next year? Where you gonna go?
See you next year.
On behalf of the Chamber of Commerce of Key West, that's an invitation to come down to Key West. And if you're coming through on a cruise ship, you might see us down there. We will be down there entertaining for you. So some of you that might take a cruise sometime and come Key West way, we'll be down there to entertain you. And of course, like I said before, that was an invitation to come to our Paradise Island. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Junka News.
Let's hear it again for the fabulous Junka News of Key West. Okay, as our program is winding down, we have a couple of more events. We have a workshop coming up in just a moment on traditional boat building with Theodis Corbin. Following that, another workshop on the history of commercial fishing. And ending out our program at 4:30 this afternoon, the Culbris family of Cortez will be playing some string band music. So stick around. There's more to come this afternoon in the Folklife area. Well, we're getting ready to start.
A little bit behind schedule, but that's okay, because we're a little tired of talking all day anyway. This next workshop from now until 4 o'clock is concerned with traditional boat building, design and construction of regional fishing boats. And I've invited Theodis Corbin of Steinhatchee to join me today to tell you about the boat that he's been building out here and to answer any questions you might have about his traditional practices, how he learned to build boats, the different steps in the process of building fishing boats, and to give you an idea of some of the things that he's been doing the last 3 days with the construction of a boat we see right out here. In fact, when Theodis arrived on Thursday afternoon, in the back of his pickup he had a lot of different boards, sheets of plywood, some tools and nails. Didn't look anything like a boat at all, did it?
No, it didn't.
Okay. Now, can you tell us what you call that type of boat?
Well, at home, we call it a bird dog. I had a woman ask me a while ago, why do you call it a bird dog? I said, well, you come and ask me a question I don't know nothing about. It's why we call it a bird dog. I don't know that.
Yeah.
That's all we've called it all my life, and I ain't but 32, so I ain't figured out that problem myself.
Well, sometimes names like that and other traditions have been going on for so
That's
long
right.
that we forget how they started, I guess.
I was talking to Ganoos. Is that what this band that was playing?
Junka News.
They told me about putting an oar on the back of a boat and wiggling it back and forth. Sculling.
Sculling, yeah. You ever heard of that before?
I'd heard the word before, but I didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you use a boat like that for, the one you're building?
We use it back home for commercial fishing. It's. I've been asked out several times why put the motor on the front? And
well, let's see if anyone has any idea about that. Anyone know why you'd put the motor on the front of a boat? Not actually on the very tip front, but it's towards the center. Yes.
No, the motor's up there basically for shallow water fishing. If it was on the stern, it'd take about 2 foot of water to run that boat. And it being in the bow, the way the boat operates itself, with a little power, it picks itself up. It'll run in about 8 to 10 inches of water. And then when you get in, if you got a smaller motor, smaller the foot, the shallower the boat can run. And that's why it's up there. And it's for seeing your rocks. It's for seeing whatever's ahead of you, because you're right there over the top of it before the motor ever gets to it. You're sitting in front of that motor. That's where you fish out of that boat from.
What kind of a motor would you put on that?
Well, we're fishing mostly around our place with boats that are 2 foot longer and a foot wider than this. We fish 50 horse Mercuries at home.
Mm-hmm.
But you find people that fishes different kinds of motor all over the state. I was talking to one guy today that was a commercial fisherman. He said down south there, you don't catch a Mercury on a boat like that. It's a Johnson or an Evinrude.
Yeah.
But we don't have no success with them for some reason. I guess mainly ours is service problems. We've never got no service out of a Johnson, and if it tears up, we don't ever see it again. So we got a Mercury dealer right there at hand and 4 or 5 Mercury mechanics on the river, so we pretty well stay with something that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that where you live in Steinhatchee, and by the way, does everyone know where Steinhatchee is? Well, you better tell us, I guess. Where is Steinhatchee?
That's where I live.
Well, that's important to know, but where is that exactly? How do you get there from here?
Oh, you can't get there from here. No, you go back to Live Oak, you take a left. You can either go through Branford. I don't know what that other road is. We call it the Farm and Market Road. That ain't telling these people a whole lot.
Well, you're sort of...
How many knows the way the tunnels crossroads?
Well, we're talking about the Gulf Coast along the Big Bend, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, now we've got that settled.
Now you go back here to Live Oak and take a left, and you go to... How many knows where Mayo's at? Nobody ain't never been to the old-timey... some kind of festival they have there every year is about old-timey deals. And, yeah, that's 16... I live 16 miles north of Cross City. How many knows where Cross City's at?
Okay, I think they have the general idea. But I asked that so I could ask you this question,
okay,
having to do with this bird dog boat. Do fishermen in other communities on other parts of the coast use bird dog boats or boats like the one you have here too?
Yeah, if he's a commercial fisherman and going to do it for a living, that's what kind of boat he's got. That or either an airboat. There's one of the guys out here in the fish dinners. He runs an airboat. I think it's about 24 foot, ain't it, Glenn? He's got a 24 foot airboat with probably an airplane engine on it. And but 98% of you commercial fishermen, you're talking a big pile of money when you're talking an airboat and an airplane engine. So it's more economical for you to gas-wise and all otherwise, as far as money is concerned, to have a bird dog.
Yeah. What type of fishing do you do in a boat like that?
We mullet fish, trout fish. We do all of our fishing basically with it. We run, like I was telling them the other day, we sharks. We've got a market for sharks the last 2 years. We take it out there in 10 or 12 foot of water on the night that it lets us get out there, and we'll drift our shark nets. We do 98% of our of our fishing off of that bird dog.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, though, in 98% of it's done in water that ain't over, most of the time, 6 foot deep. The only time it's deeper than that when you cross the channel or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do people in other areas have other names for it besides a bird dog?
Down south, they call it whale boats. Down in Pine Island, along in that area, they call them whale boats. They call them net skiffs. We call them bird dogs. They call them tunnel boats. And that's about the only, I think it's about four names, all of them that I've ever heard of them being called.
Yeah.
And net boats. They call them a net boat.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us now how you learned about building boats.
I learned mostly by watching people. It's like I said yesterday, it's like anything a man wants to do. If he wants to do it, he's going to pay attention to what's going on. And it don't matter what trade that is. If he wants to do it, he's going to learn by sitting there watching and taking on information from asking questions. I've watched a lot of people build boats. And so when I figured out I could build one, I made some major mistakes. But over the years, I've improved my mistakes. And I feel like I make a pretty good bird dog now. I'm really pleased with it myself. I'm pleased enough with it, I built me a fiberglass mold off of one of mine. And I'm trying to sell them now for an extra dollar through the hard times.
Yeah. Now, how long ago was it you built your first bird dog?
Probably about 12 years ago. I've been fishing about 17, 18 years. Well, fishing that I made any money off of it, I fished from 5 years old until I was 13. I didn't make near a penny out of it. I was just there. Taking on that experience, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What sort of tools and materials do you need to build a bird dog?
Well, to bypass the sand dust, you want a planer, a skill saw, a router, a hand saw. And I got another name for a wood rasp, a hammer and some glue, and some wood.
This kind fellow just brought you a glass of water there, Theodos, if you'd like a drop.
Yeah, I use a staple gun. This is the third boat I've built with a staple gun. I have a handicap. I've lost my two fingers, and I started having throat trouble running all them galvanized nails through my mouth. I either had to run them through my mouth, or every time I nailed a nail, I kept my nails in this hand. I'd pick one out of it and hold it there. I couldn't hold but 8 or 10. I'd nail it like that. Or either I had to put a string of them in my mouth, and then I could pick them out. I could nail them as fast as you could. Till it comes to reloading. So I went to the staple gun. It's cut my time in half, probably, if not more than that. And the time it normally take me to nail the bow cap on, like I did there, was doing there this morning, it took me 30 minutes to have done that, and it take me maybe 5 this morning to have nailed it on there with that gun. Mm-hmm. It didn't take that long. I laid it up there and nailed it on there. But if I'd eat all them nails and spit them back out, it'd take me 30 minutes to put that bow cap on this morning. It's just cut my work in half. A lot of people says, well, a staple gun, the staple don't hold as good. I'll say it holds better. You got two prongs instead of one. I bend them over. I glue it. It's stainless steel and it ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a better, I like it. The contractors like it. It's just like it. Just like I was talking to a woman came up today and she said, everybody's going to a staple gun. I said, well, if you was doing a job by contract, if you could get $100,000 job done in 30 minutes using a staple gun and it take you 3 days using a hammer, which would you go with? So that's the way it is. That's the way that you got to keep up with the day. Go to Miami. See if you can keep up with them folks. I went down there the other day and almost got hurt. We don't even have to stop at our stop sign in Steen Hatchie. No red lights.
Any other questions out there? We've got a few more minutes left today. Yes.
I build them for $1,800. That's with a jack up on it and a radio box. We call it a radio box. Some of them call it a junk box. It's a thing you put, it's behind, goes behind where the tunnel's at. Where the tunnel part's squared off, it goes back there and straddles that tunnel. You put your life jackets in, or you can put your radio antenna on it and a radio in it. And everything but a fish box and your lighting goes on it.
What's a jack-up?
Oh, Lord. I tried to explain that to a fella yesterday that knows something about fishing. I can't explain that, David.
Well, it has to do with the outboard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a deal that lifts your outboard. We've got educated a whole lot. The rocks educate you. It'll get you to learning different things. And it's a deal that you build a false bulkhead, I guess you'd call it, and you set it behind this and I have out there. And you put two befores behind it and bolt them through the sides, and it slips up and down like an old-timey winder used to. All right, everybody got that picture?
Yeah.
All right, you put bolts out here on the end of it, one on each end. And you put arms on it, like my two arms here. Then you build you a thing called, it would be like a pry bar. And it sticks out like this. And there's a center that it sets on right there. And when you mash that down, it pushes these two arms up on that motor. And it slides that motor up just that quick. Especially when you're about to run aground, it almost does it by itself. And you can get 5 inches more of, you can get 5 inches just that quick where you're almost running the ground and snatch up that thing, put your foot on it and mash it down. You can probably, 98% of the time, you'll go ahead and pin your fish. But you better have a boat that'll float to get out of there if the tide's falling. And that's basically what a jack-up is. It's, in our country, it's a lifesaver. It's the best invention that's ever been invented, I reckon, besides a staple gun for our country.
Well, you explained that very well. I got a good picture in my mind. I think you folks do, too, about what a jack-up is. It jacks up or lifts up the outboard so you can get out the way of obstructions that can tear it up.
Well, there's a lot of people knows about the jack-up in the commercial industry. But they're talking about a hydraulic jack-up. There's a hydraulic jack-up. I think it's about $1,200. But the one that I'm talking about, you don't never have to take your light off of the bottom. You've got your foot resting on it 98% of the time if you run in a fishing. And this hydraulic, when you got to stop and turn around and reach back there at your bulkhead and push these two little buttons, and then you're too late.
Okay, we've got time for about one more question in this workshop. Any other questions out there about how boats are built and used? No more questions at all? Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's ready to go in the water except for your lighting. I put two. It ain't cloth, it's row, it's matting. Yeah, matting. It's painted inside and out. Your water, it's... I was telling somebody today, if I was going to trailer it, we call trailering it. If I was going to trailer it and keep it out of the water most of the time, I'd put a water line on it with a outdoor paint just of any kind or any color, you know, to make it look good. But you're saving about $50 as far as paint goes to have a 90-phthalate paint to put on the bottom of it just for looks. But in our situation, it ain't for looks, it's to keep the bugs off because our boat stays in the water. But you got a fella that's trailering his boat. Most of the time he trailers it to the house, it might be 2 or 3 weeks before he goes back fishing again. That'd be stupid for him to have bottom paint on his boat.
I got one final question myself. What do you like about boat building, Theodis?
I don't know. I just like it. I like to put things together. It excites me. It excites me to, from the first one I've built until this one right here, I learned something new about it. It might get tiring whenever I don't learn anything. But I learn something new about it. Every time I build a boat, I find either a new way of doing something where it'll be quicker, or I find a new angle about how to, nothing else but just maybe line it up and get all your things straight in it quicker. You just all the time learning something new. I've always liked building things. And I can't hardly build a box to save my life. That's an awful thing to say, but that's the way it is. When it comes to square things, I can't cut nothing square. But I'll build you a crooked boat.
Another question here.
It'll take 7 days. You got your fiberglass and all this stuff to contend with getting hard, and little old nitpick jobs what eat your time up. But a wood boat is faster. I have a fiberglass one at home. It's a lot faster to build this boat than it is my fiberglass one. I can lay the boat up in one day, but then I got to put those little odds and ends in it, about 8 or 10 items, and hit about one item a day is all you can get in it, because you got to sit around and wait on it to dry before you can do anything else.
I noticed that you sanded off the top railing yesterday, and today it's this morning, maybe different now, but the bottom part was still jagged on the outside. That's your last part before you last shape everything out on the outside.
Yeah, all that's got to be sanded.
That's the last thing you normally do.
Mm-hmm. When you get that boat ready to fiberglass, you've got to sand for about an hour. But after that, you can go ahead and fiberglass it.
Okay, we're about out of time here. I want to thank you for your excellent questions.
I want to tell you this.
Yeah.
If any of y'all ever do any fiberglassing, use a roller, not a paintbrush. A roller. It's amazing what it'll do. All these little bubbles you have in it, it'll roll them right on out the other side. I've heard a lot of people talking about putting glass on. How'd you do it? I did it with a paintbrush. I did it with a paintbrush before, too. I done 2 or 3 boats with a paintbrush before I figured out a roller would work.
Okay, there's a tip for you. So join me in thanking Theodis Corbin for sharing his knowledge with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Theodis. Just about another 5 minutes or so, we're going to have our final workshop today, just after which we're going to have the final musical performance of the day. The Culberth family will be back to see us. This next workshop, if I can corral a few more fishermen, will deal with continuity and change in the fishing industry, what the prospects of the future are in the opinion of some of the fishermen who are here with us today. Glenn, could you join us for that one? You got some time? Okay.